The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, there are so many brokenhearted and wounded people, and my heart really wants to help them. For years, I was one of them. But God has healed my brokenness and my shattered soul. And if He can do it for me, He can and will do it for you. Take a look at this message on receiving emotional healing. And then later, Beth Moore joins me to talk about the journey to wholeness in your soul. These scriptures were so helpful to me in the early days of my healing journey with God. And I think it's good to let you know right up front that it is a journey. It is a process. But you know, if you have a real serious disease, you don't just go to the doctor once and walk out and everything's over. Many times there's treatment and medicine you have to take and follow-up visits you have to do. And so we have to understand that it takes us a long time to get into the messes that we're in. And we can't get bent out of shape if God hasn't fixed us up in 2 or 3 weeks. We need to at least give God the same amount of time we gave the devil. Who can say amen to that? So, these are such powerful scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Isaiah prophesying about Christ. Because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. A brokenhearted person is someone who's been hurt really bad, and they're hurting inside. They need emotional healing. They have a wounded heart, or I like to say sometimes they're broken in personality. The way that they should be functioning, especially in relationships, has been damaged. And God wants to heal that area of your life. That may be brand new news to many of you. You may have thought that God only cared about your afterlife. That when you received Christ, that took care of you going to heaven. You got a ticket to go to heaven when you die. But I'm announcing to you today the good news that Jesus came to heal everything in your life that is broken and to restore to you everything that the enemy has taken. God is a God of restoration. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound. Now, as I said on Thursday night, Jesus has already opened prison doors. We don't have to stay in the prisons of our past, the prisons of bad habits or addictions or any other kind of prison, the prison of worry or the prison of anxiety, the prison of depression. The prison doors has been opened. Jesus has already paid for our deliverance, but He also says, and to open the eyes of those who are bound. So I think at least part of that is my job as a teacher to teach you the truth of God's Word, which is the only thing that's really going to override the deception that we live in. Do you know that there are people sitting right in here today, and although you love God with your whole heart, you still believe lies? I do. Yeah, for example, I spent years, even as a church member, born again, I was saved, but I believed that because I had been sexually abused by my father that I would always have to have kind of a second-rate inferior life. It wasn't even a real aggressive belief. It was just something that I had accepted when I was little. And it just was in me that my life would always just not be what it could have been had I not been abused. It was a little bit like the whole thing when Lazarus died. And Mary said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you would have been here, why weren't you here? Jesus, if this just wouldn't have happened. And He said, your brother will rise again. And she said, well, yes, I know that he'll rise again, you know, after in the afterlife. He said, no, he would raise him to life. And the story is very interesting because when he approached the tomb and he said, roll away the stone, they said, oh, no, I mean, he's been dead 3 days. He stinks. So maybe some of you think, well, you know, maybe if God could have caught my problem right away, but man, I've had this issue now for 30 years. I mean, this thing stinks. I mean, this is not, I just don't have a dead mess. I've got a really dead mess in my life. Or maybe you even think, I'm too old to start this, or, you know, whatever. And Jesus said, roll away the stone, and then he shouted for Lazarus to come out. And I think there's a great shout going out from the Spirit of God today, saying to all of you that have been bound, come out! Take off those grave clothes and begin to live the life that God really wants you to live. Now, I'm all for miracles, but I want to tell you something. I urge you not to just sit back passively waiting for some miracle to come your way. I urge you and encourage you to be aggressive in faith, praying for God to heal you, asking God to show you if there's any action that he wants you to take that's going to start unraveling this mess in your life. He may lead you to certain resources or to books. When I was walking my healing out, there were many books that really, really, really helped me. There were timely things that the Holy Spirit led me to in my life. Verse 2, Jesus came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To comfort all who mourn. To grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty instead of ashes. Thus the title for this book and teaching that I have done for many years, because he has given me beauty for ashes. However, one of the things that I've shared this weekend is that you cannot keep the ashes and expect to get the beauty. So I'm in the process of trying to teach people to let go of the bitterness, the resentment, the self-pity, the chip on your shoulder, the bad attitude. Can I just say a quick word about attitude? I am telling you, your attitude belongs to you. That is one thing that you have that nobody can take away from you. And if you do not let them, nobody can alter it. And if you choose to have a good attitude, a thankful attitude, a happy attitude, no matter what your past has been like and no matter what's going on right now, you will end up with a blessed, blessed life. Well, God is definitely a God of restoration, and he can heal you everywhere you hurt. Beth Moore joins me now to talk about the healing that God wants to do deep in our souls. Well, Beth, it's great to have you here today.
I could not be more pleased to be here.
Well, thank you. Well, there's a lot of hurting people I know watching today, and you and I have both had personal experience with having deep wounds in our soul, and they hear about mine all the time. So tell us a little bit about your experience, if you don't mind.
I do not know where on earth I would have ended up had Jesus not been real to me, even in my young childhood. I was raised in the church. I did not receive Jesus as my Savior until I was around 9 years old. But I had been taught about him since I was a small child. Mm-hmm. And I began to come to grips in my adolescent years and in my early 20s with just how much the things that had happened in my early childhood were going to impact me, and how every relational decision I was making was destructive, and how I'd set myself up for disaster over and over again.
Yeah.
Just that whole victim mentality. And, you know, I've said a number of times, Joyce, I think this is true for a lot of people. I had an upbringing where I was loved significantly by people. I had a lot of people in my life that were good to me and built me up and encouraged me, but there can also be something going on that people don't know about.
Right.
Abuse is coming to you in places where nobody can see,
right.
and in very significant areas and relationships in the family where you are not free to tell anyone, or you feel like you're not. I think a lot of that is changing now.
Yeah.
But I grew up with so much brokenness because those boundaries were broken early on in my life. I literally did not know how to say no to anything.
Right.
And any strong personality completely overrode me.
Yeah.
I would feel powerless in that situation. There's this verse in 2 Timothy 3 that about weak-willed women that are overwhelmed with sins and various passions. That was me. I had the beginnings of that from an early childhood on through my adolescence. And finally coming to grips with the fact that I did not have to live that way.
Yeah.
I don't know how you processed all of this in your upbringing, but for me, it was somehow trying to get my exterior not to give away my interior.
Right. Yeah.
To go to school and try to be a successful student, to be successful socially, to try to have it all together as best I could. And somehow, Joyce, because all of this, I'm very active in church at this time. All of this, I am thinking, is the Christian thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't think I ever even heard the terminology that he would tend to my brokenness and
right.
to my wounding.
Yeah.
I think the main message I got, and I loved my upbringing. I everything I was taught was so meaningful to me. It just wasn't enough. And it ended up being so, but it wasn't
right.
enough. I just was taught to be good.
Right.
That I needed to be good and I needed to live righteously. Well, Joyce, I was so messed up, I couldn't stay good to save my life.
Right.
Because something inside of me, I still thought somebody very, very bad lived in there.
Right.
Somebody that I was hiding. And in times of insecurity or in times of stress or crisis or when something was going wrong in the home, that's what would come right back out.
Mm-hmm.
And I would live this self-fulfilling prophecy that is who I really am.
Right.
That this that I'm hiding, this is the real me. And it was just torturous.
It's always interesting to me how different personalities respond sometimes to the same kind of trauma in two different ways. Like you said, you came out of that where any personality would just completely override
yes.
you. So you kind of shrunk
I came back in.
Mm-hmm. into it.
Yes.
But I came out the opposite, like nobody's ever going to push me around
yes.
again. However, I thought because I walked away from the home where my father was abusing me, that I no longer had the problem. I thought because I left, I no longer had the problem.
That you left it behind.
That I left it behind. But it took me lots and lots of years to realize that I still had the problem in me. And I totally agree with you about church, religion. And it's not that, I mean, I was taught some good things too.
Yes.
But a lot of it is do the right thing.
Yes.
And there was really no instruction about the healing of the soul. Or the healing of a broken heart. And it's a shame that those things are not talked about more because Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
To give us beauty for ashes,
yes.
joy for mourning.
Yes.
And so many people, even lots of people watching today, they're pretending that everything is okay because they think that's what they're supposed to do, but yet they're bleeding on the inside. And so our message today is that God wants to heal you everywhere you hurt, not only wants to, but he can.
Yes.
How did this trauma that you experienced affect your thinking?
I would constantly cycle back into that destruction, no matter how I tried to set my mind right. When people just think, you know, just think positively. That was just not enough for me because it was up here on the top inch of my skull instead of down here in my heart. Mm-hmm. My heart still believed I was messed up,
right.
that I had come from something that was gross and that if people knew, they would not be able to accept me. That always would come back to the surface. Just it would be what that trigger would somehow be tripped over and over again, and up it would come. And I stayed in that defeated mindset and trying to just overcome it by thinking positively. It just did not work for me. Somehow I needed an overhaul. I needed God to come in and rewire the hard drive of my mind. Of course, I wouldn't have had that terminology
right,
then.
Yeah.
But that is the truth, to come in and literally rewire from the most intimate places how I thought. Because, you know, you're going to feel like you think. And you know, I constantly would think, I'm going to somehow set myself up for the poorest decision here. I'm over and over again going to find myself in that.
Were you aware that your thinking was causing you a lot of these problems? See, I wasn't even aware that my thoughts were a problem.
No, I wasn't. I always thought it was my behavior that I was very aware. I would say by the time I was hitting 18, 19 years old, I was extremely aware that I was in a pattern. Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that figured out until I was about 40.
I would do the wrong thing, and then because I had a heart for God, and I did from childhood,
right?
I would repent.
Yeah.
And I mean, I believe in repentance. And I even believed what God's word said was true, that when I confessed, I was forgiven and I was cleansed.
Yeah.
I believed it. And so I would repent, be brokenhearted. I was one of those that just cried into my pillow and would say, Lord, why do I do what I do? I don't know why I do this. Mm-hmm. And so then I'd start again, and I'd walk it out until the next thing. I could walk in strength until the next bad thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that triggered that again. And we had lots of instability in our home.
Right.
And lots and lots of, I was worrying about things that a kid is not mature enough to worry about.
I don't think I ever really got to be a child.
I agree with that.
I realized when I was about 50, I guess, that one of the things that was stolen was my childhood.
Yes.
And so I grew up not having much of a child in me. And so, therefore, I didn't know how to enjoy very much.
Yes.
You know, everything was serious to me. Everything was work, responsibility, take care of it, stay out of trouble, do what you should do. And it was an eye-opening revelation to me. And it took a while to find out that Jesus came that we might have and enjoy our lives.
Yes. Yes.
And I really had to learn how to enjoy things because I knew how to do things, but I didn't know how to enjoy them because I didn't enjoy myself. And you can't enjoy anything else if you don't enjoy yourself. Let me ask you a question. Did you feel like that what happened to you was your fault? Did you feel guilty?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one way I continue to reaffirm that is that out of it, I made so many poor decisions. And I do mean over and over. And I would start new relationships with the whole idea, it's not going to happen this time. And it would be, what I mean by it happening, it would be all sorts of things. It could be one of a number of different kinds of responses.
Not trusting people.
Exactly. Or that this was not going to get physical in any way. I'm going to start again. I'm starting all over. But then I would fall back into sin. And so I reaffirmed over and over that it was my fault because look what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I must have done it. But I'm going to tell you, I think that you share this with me, and I think that yours was a far more intense than my experience. But I think for both of us, we don't have any memory whatsoever of innocence. Mm-hmm. None.
Right.
I do not remember in my childhood not feeling ashamed of myself.
Right.
I have no
I always say I didn't feel right if I didn't feel wrong.
Absolutely.
I mean, I always felt wrong.
Absolutely. And I felt like people were staring at us.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to church even as a 6 and 7 year old. And I would look around me and wonder if people knew. And I try to think back on it now and go, what on earth? What I look at my granddaughter is that age.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine her carrying that burden on her.
Right, right. Well, you know, sometimes, and I think it's important to say this for the people watching, sometimes this pain comes from things that have been done to us.
Yes.
Sometimes it's things that we've done.
Yes.
And so there may be people watching today that maybe you've done some terrible things and you almost wish that it would have been something done to you instead of something you have done, then you could at least blame somebody else. But here's the thing I want you to get today. If any man be in Christ,
yes,
he is a new creature.
Yes.
All things pass away, and all things become brand new. And that promise is not only for you and I, but it's for every single person that's watching. And I know, like for me, and I'm sure it's probably the same way for you, when I talk about this now, which I do frequently to help people, I almost feel like I'm talking about somebody that I used to know long, 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 long time ago. That's not me anymore.
No, that's right.
Because he has made us a new creature. Talk to us a little bit about how your mind can be renewed through studying the Word.
Well, I have said so many times that he truly used the Word of God to save my mind, to make me rethink my entire well-being, rethink my entire reason for being on the planet,
right,
to rethink my value in him, to take him at his word, and to come to a place to decide whether or not I was going to believe him or I was going to believe how I felt about myself.
Right.
And what I have found the most revolutionary about the process is that it was a process.
Right.
That teaching me to think all over again, to respond to him a different way. We both know that God can do a miracle over us and in an instant completely
right.
heal somebody's yeah. mind. We know people he's done it for.
Yeah.
Completely heal somebody's emotions. He can heal someone's body. He can do anything he wants. Nothing is too difficult for him. But for me, there was that daily trust that again today, that manna, that I'm going to wake up to the manna of his word and I'm going to be challenged again today. Will I believe this?
Right.
Is it this? And I would write out a list. I know you've done the same kind of thing. This is who I am.
Right.
This is who the word says I am. And I would say it over and
right.
over again.
Yeah.
This and that, do that daily, where you can even feel, as I began to get a little bit of victory, I would sense the pleasure of God over it.
Yeah, right.
I was feeling like, I would feel like he was saying, good girl.
I think it's just so important what you said about it being a process. Because
yes.
I think that so many people, they want a quick thing
yes.
to happen. You know, a lot of times they want recovery. They don't really want restoration.
That's
they
right.
want somebody to just come and wave something over them and make it okay, or they're willing to, you know, try this word thing for a couple of weeks, but if it doesn't work, then they get discouraged. And it is a long, long process that you will be partnering with God in, really, for as long as you live on the earth. But the good news is he changes us. 2 Corinthians 3 says, from glory to glory. And the word glory means the manifestation of all the excellencies of God. So from glory to glory, we get a little more excellent, a little more excellent, a little more excellent. And not only do we get more excellent, we begin to experience more of the excellence of God. For me,
amen.
I got tired of hearing about all the promises of God and not living in them.
Yes.
And that was when I finally just said to God, something is wrong. This is not working.
That's right.
It should be
yes.
more than just hearing it.
Yes.
I want to experience this kind of freedom.
Absolutely.
And so when I finally got to the point where I was ready to let him just into every area of my life, then he started digging around in places I didn't want him to dig around in. And one of the first was my attitude. I just had a bad attitude. I was very negative because I had never had good things happen to me. So even the night that Dave asked me to marry him, I kept wanting to go home because I wanted to get home before my dad got home. He always came in drunk on Saturday night, and that was always a war. And so it was just better to be in bed and pretend like you were asleep when he came in the house. And Dave said, well, I want to talk to you about something before I take you home. And I thought he was going to break up with me. That's how my mind worked. I was always going to the next disaster
yes.
that was going to happen. And so even to learn how to cooperate with God, we have to believe that we're at a new beginning. And one of the first things to practice, I think, is believing that good things can happen to you through your relationship with God, that everything doesn't have to be bad.
I can remember dramatically when it hit me through study. And Joyce, I was already writing Bible studies by the time I came face to face with the fact that my reality was not matching my theology.
Yeah.
I remember it I remember it like yesterday, because I thought to myself, this is supposed to work. And I want somebody to understand what I mean by that. No, it doesn't mean that I always feel happy.
Right.
It doesn't mean that life is always going great. We have all sorts of trials, all sorts of challenges. But it does mean that we can walk in victory in the midst of our circumstances.
And that we see progress.
Yes. And that we can have joy, and that our lives and hearts feel fulfilled by what God's called us to do. And when I began to see, there is a disconnect somewhere here. This is not my reality. I want this to get down in my bones where this is how I live. And it was a game changer for me. I think once people begin to understand that our restoration is, when it comes to God, because of his role in it, he's always about relationship. You know, we want to just get our healing. He's going, no, I want you to know the healer. Because if we miss that, we missed the best
part. That's right, yeah.
All the time, I'll say back to the Lord, you are the best part. The thing about it, Lord, when it all came down to it, it was not what you did for me.
Right.
It was you, Jesus. It was you. You were your own prize. You were the reward.
Right.
You are the best part. And that's what we miss. You know, I want, he's done some instantaneous things in me, but I want to know him.
That's right.
I want to walk with him.
And that in itself, for me, came as a time of transition.
It really does.
When God really just finally got it across to me, I want you to seek my face, not my hand.
That's right.
What I can do for you, but me. Well, Beth, we're out of time, sadly, but I want to thank you for being with us today, and I believe that people really got something good today. And we want you to know that what God does for somebody else, he will always do for you if you're willing to believe. You know, we always like to offer you the word on the program, because the little bit that you get on the program, it's awesome, and I'm glad you watched, but there's so much more to learn. And so we're offering you a book that I've written called Beauty for Ashes, and my DVD on emotional healing. If you were interested in what we said today and you need this, or you know someone that needs this, why don't you get these resources so you can continue this journey with God and let him do everything in you that he wants to do. Thank you so much for being with us today. God bless you and have a great day.
Discover the keys to emotional healing and learn how to receive God's unconditional love with Joyce's best-selling book, Beauty for Ashes. God wants to take you on a healing journey so that you can overcome a painful past. In addition, you'll also receive the DVD, Emotional Healing. Learn how to accelerate the healing process through the power of forgiveness. These resources are available for your gift of $30 or more. To order, call us toll-free at 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
Enjoy life with people you love and meet new friends at the Joyce Meyer Conference. Join us in Grand Rapids, Michigan and Sacramento, California. For more details, go to joycemeyer.org.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.